Got some news here. Well, many developments. Obviously, it is we're filming this Monday. And every time we come in on a Monday, it's like the news, you know, it builds up over the weekend and all that. And then I got to break it down. You got to take the important stories, put it all together. As we were leaving at the end of the week, it was TikTok stuff. TikTok was smoked. And then actually that kind of changes a little bit.
Yeah.
And so
it's not too bad now.
We have an update on that. But I want to kick it off with some iPhone news. And actually, I kind of like this one. Apparently, there's a chance here, if this leaker is to be believed, but this guy's been actually fairly accurate in the past, there's a chance we get that the little iPhone gets the name iPhone 12 mini for the next generation. Mm. They bring the mini back. You didn't see that. That was the iPod had a mini.
Yep.
The iPad had a mini. Imagine an iPhone mini, and you just make it clear to the customers. Okay, so first of all, this guy... Love to dream. We've talked about him on the show before. He does these amazing tweets. Look at that tweet.
Yeah.
No context.
Very straightforward, though.
Yes.
It's, yeah.
But it's almost art when you look at it.
Yeah.
12 mini. I don't know why he doesn't put a space beside the mini, but anyway, 12 mini, 12, 12 Pro, 12 Pro Max. Huh. All right. That's the whole tweet. And just because of who he is, people know what it means. They know to read into it, and they know to write an article. So we're on Apple Insider, but you know they probably posted it on 9to5, and they probably posted it on Mac Rumors and whatever, just because this guy tweets that. I love it.
Very practical.
So supposedly he's got some intel that they move in this direction, and they just straight up call the little one the iPhone 12 mini. And I'll tell you why I like this. Well, I like this because the naming thing has gotten wacky recently, in recent years. With the... I mean, I don't even know what Google's going to do with the upcoming 5. Mm-hmm. And the A, they bring the A in with the 4, you know.
Yep.
And then everybody got crazy in the high end with, well, Apple goes with the Pro. Samsung's all the way to Ultra. And you don't know what these things mean. They just, it sounds great. That's amazing. The amazing version. Mini, what I love about it just tells you immediately what the thing is. Anybody, regardless of their enthusiasm for technology, could just be like, I got the mini one. Or you know what I would love for Christmas? I want the mini one.
It's very descriptive.
Yes.
Which is nice.
That's what I like about it. Just get straight to the point. And it's still, I mean, you look at this list and you still have the Pro Max problem, which is just, holy smokes, that's a lot going on there. It could it have been the Pro Plus? I guess they probably sold a few Maxes. But anyway, nonetheless, I'm not going to complain because they may very well give us the Mini. So the way this would break down, the Mini would be the 5.4-inch model, which, by the way, I had the later case. It's not here right now, but I had the later case already for the Mini model, if they call it that. It's tiny. Yeah. And I did a video actually showcasing it. That small iPhone is small, dare I say, Mini.
Huh.
However, the 6.1-inch models, they would be, that would be the standard model, right? That would be the 6.1-inch model would just be the iPhone 12. And then the Pro version would be the 6.1 as well. And the Max version would be 6.7. So you would have two at 6.1 inches, the Mini at 5.4, and the Max model at 6.7 inches. So I'm kind of a fan of this. I hope they go for it. Keep in mind as well, though, the spec sheet is not going to be the same for all of them. Beyond scale, obviously, you have some different specs that come along with the Pro designation. I don't know which one's going to be the most popular, but if they're able to hit the price, some of the rumored pricing on that Mini model, you get it into the sixes or something like that, they can move a lot of those units. It could be a lot of people asking for the Mini iPhone this holiday season.
Are they going to replace this with the SE, you think?
Well, that's an interesting take.
Or
I think
reversed.
No, I know what you're saying. Well, look, why do you have people? Obviously, there's a demand. People are interested in smaller phones, and the SE was kind of evidence of that. Even though it was the old form factor, they could have made the ultimate phone, and maybe that's what this Mini model is. Maybe it is the ultimate phone for a lot of people, for the small form factor people. The SE is kind of like a holdover. Maybe the SE was even an experiment to see if people still wanted a small phone.
Right.
It had the issue with the screen to body ratio because it was based on an old formula. But you take, the 12 mini in the hand is roughly the same scale as this, just with an increased screen size and various other spec upgrades. So maybe you don't need the SE. However, one thing you're not going to do with the 12 mini, Will, is get the price to SE level. So I think they can coexist. However, it's a tougher decision now for somebody in the market for the small form factor phone, because obviously the display on that model is not great on the SE as it is today. Now they're going to try to convince, well, they're going to try to put together a few extra bucks to step up to the 12 mini if they still haven't made their choice and they're cross shopping the SE versus the mini model. That's going to be a tougher deal to make. If they're able to free up a few extra bucks, I think the 12 mini is the ultimate small iPhone for people. But that's no surprise if you want to spend the money.
Right.
Obviously. It is not even out yet. So.
Yeah.
We have another report here from the cybersecurity contributor over at Forbes, Zach Doffman. We've covered him in the past. He writes interesting things about, specifically security breaches or things to be aware of. This was the guy who reported on the iMessage thing where people weren't removing the geotags from the images they were sharing via iMessage, and people could pinpoint their location based on that. And he was saying, hey, make sure to remove that data prior to sending an iMessage, or snap a photo right within iMessage before sending it, because then that data would be stripped at that moment. Of course, social media does this. Certain other platforms, messaging platforms, don't, including iMessage for the time being. Anyway, he's got a new report here, why you should stop using other people's iPhone cables. And as suspected, he's done a little bit of research here and discovered that there's a company called O.MG, and they are currently manufacturing a keylogger cable in the exact fashion of the official Apple Lightning cable. And this actually made news a little while ago. I guess it was like a year ago. But at that moment, the cable they were producing was not identical to an Apple cable. And actually, this image you're looking at here is an older version as well, which might be the reason the connector's a bit blurred out there. The new one, if you go back to the original article and scroll down, the new cable is a little bit more. The new cable's indistinguishable. It's a one-to-one. And he's had to miniaturize components and all the rest. Of course, they say, we were doing this for security research. You know how that goes. You're not making it for hackers or for people who are trying to do something nefarious. You're doing it for those that are trying to know what's out there in order to stop something that's nefarious from taking place. Mm-hmm. Anyways, in the video, it showcases how the thing operates. It's kind of amazing they're able to pack all that tech in there. If you were to plug this into somebody's Lightning keyboard, let's say on their Mac, it would then be capable of not only logging whatever happens on that keyboard, but also letting you then later wirelessly connect to the cable to extract everything that took place without physically being there, without needing to retrieve the cable to see what it logged. And so this is like, when you see the engineering capability here to create a cable that looks identical to an Apple charge cable, capable of extracting information from devices that are plugged into it, you say, oh my God, you rethink every place, every time you plug into anyone else's cable. Yes. This may not be an issue for you in your trusted environments, but of course, this is where my head, and this is not what this cable is designed for, but in my head, you know all the people they plug in the Uber?
Yeah.
Give me the charge cable. And just, or at the hotel, or whatever, wherever you may encounter a cable that doesn't belong to you. The other report that we talked about, maybe a couple months ago in airports, where they would actually, a hacker may install some kind of malware onto one of those charge terminals that people would then use. So this is just to get people thinking, hey, consider the source when you're about to plug into the cable. In this case, it's targeting specifically keyboards that use this cable, the Apple official keyboard. But presumably this stuff could be adapted for all kinds of different devices that could potentially plug into it. So careful when your friends hand you the cable. Are they really your friends?
Yes.
Careful when you're typing away on the...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying here? And I guess at work too, right? If somebody at work try to mess with you... Want to see what you're up to? Mm-hmm. They slapped that in. You wouldn't notice the difference if you had the Apple official keyboard with the Lightning connector.
Yeah. I was going to say it's pretty impressive here that they're able to pack that in, like you said. And I'm guessing it also charges as well.
Yeah. They right? added wireless triggering to provide autonomous location awareness. And they opened up access to the large amount of storage inside the cable so you can put malware executables into your payloads. Mm. Crazy, man. It looks like a one-to-one replica. Yeah. Apparently, it took a lot of work. The previous generation cables, again, if you watch the video, you can see the connector on the Lightning end would have to be larger to house the components. Uh-huh. And therefore, people could discern, hey, that's not an official Apple cable. Uh-huh. This one, you look at the one-to-one, it's, well, a lot of people would be fooled, including myself. Mm-hmm. We got a new OnePlus smartphone coming out, OnePlus 8T, officially launching October 14th. This is news took place this morning. Believe it or not, OnePlus, still they got more to say, always. It's mm-hmm. a lot of launches now that you have the Nord lineup, which just took place. Mm-hmm. Of course, we had the 8 and the 8 Pro. A lot of people forgot about the 8 because you reach for the Pro, uh-huh. and the 8 was a bit more, well, it was tough at the price that it was at. It was like $800, I believe, the regular. Anyway, we're doing an 8T now, and they've got this tagline, Ultra Stops at Nothing, as well as a preview video showcasing how young and cool they are, as you would do if you were OnePlus. You never stop. You never rest. You never compromise. And I don't know about you, Will, but this is, when I think about my life, this is pretty much how it goes. This is what I'm up to on a regular sort of daily basis as I interact with my OnePlus device. I do all these things.
Do some painting?
Yeah, I do all these things. This is, I got to put a lot of those things on pause with the lockdown the way it is right now. Those people, they're not putting anything on pause.
Yeah.
They're jumping off the cliffs. They're, although they were outdoors for a lot of those activities, the skateboarding and.
Yeah, they never stop.
I did play a little bit of the new Tony Hawk stuff.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, you know, the remastered. Uh-huh. You know, a kickflip here and there.
Okay, that's good.
You know, so you gotta get the high score. You grind on the rail, you jump, you do something, you grind, you keep grinding. You mm-hmm. gotta get the combo effect going.
Yes, yes.
So quick recap on that. Anyway. Speculation surrounding the 8T, what will it be? How premium? People wanna know about the price. Apparently, they are expected to exclude a Pro variant. So then where does this one fit in? Bit confusing because, you just tracked down one of my favorite phones right here, which is, of course, that's the 8 Pro.
Yes.
I was never really using the regular 8. So then what do they do with the 8T? Is it a value play? Is it around the same price as the regular 8, it without the Pro designation, then presumably the Pro you keep selling and people are still interested in it. Maybe they got to be more aggressive on the price. I don't really know. Current rumors suggest a Snapdragon 865 Plus chipset. That's expensive. Rumors suggest a 120 hertz refresh rate display. That's expensive. Rumors suggest a very Samsung-like camera array. That's expensive. Rumors suggest a 65-watt charging standard. That's expensive. So
they're going for flagship.
I don't know, man. Those specs sound like it, but they're not going to use the Pro designation, and presumably they still have the 8 Pro, so I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, Will. Maybe they're just going to give you more for less. Hmm. Maybe it's possible.
Yeah, price makes a huge difference.
I'm trying to remember in my head the previous T series of devices. They were almost always an upgrade in every fashion.
Yes.
So we'll see. Anyways, it's taking place, being streamed October 14th at 10 a.m. Maybe we'll stream it here. I'm not really sure yet. We're trying to get to the bottom of it and see if we can take part in some way. OnePlus is always looking for opportunities to bring the latest technology to our tech-savvy users as soon as we feel it meets our high standards. This is from Pete Lau. He says, once again, the 8T is raising the bar in terms of user experience, and they say there are some new features that we are excited to introduce for the first time in a OnePlus device. That's his words. So we'll have to wait and see what that is exactly. Sony has apologized for the PlayStation 5 pre-order fiasco. Mm. I don't know if you followed that along with that, but it was a bit of a mishap on the pre-orders because some of the retailers were like, whoa, wait, are we going now?
Yeah. Walmart did it. Best Buy did it.
Whoa, wait. Are we going now? Did he go? Because I'm going to go if he goes.
Yeah.
Did the race start yet? Because I want that pre-order on my site.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a fiasco, and then people were scrambling, and websites weren't ready, and they were trying to put their product pages live because you know how that goes. You missed the pre-order. It's over. It's gone. It's a one-time deal for you as a retailer. So Sony comes out, and they go to Twitter, actually. And you know what? I'm going to say I appreciate it when a company's transparent. They just get it out the way. They just say, hey, sorry about that. So this is the tweet from the PlayStation Twitter handle. Let's be honest. PS5 pre-orders could have been a lot smoother. We truly apologize for that. Over the next few days, we will release more PS5 consoles for pre-order, and retailers will share more details. And more PS5s will be available through the end of the year. So they're trying to chill people a little bit. We screwed up. We're going to figure it out. We can get you your PS5s. And I have to say, Will, just in my regular life, people are asking me about PS5.
They're ravenous.
People are asking me about PS5. I have messages. Hey, I didn't get the pre-order in time. Yeah. What's going on with the PS? Can you hook up a PS? I'm getting this. You're probably getting that as well. Can you hook? I need Sony. I need to get in touch with Sony. We need to figure something out. But
like, I don't even have one.
Yeah, exactly. People are looking for PS5s like crazy. So, yeah, you're right. Some of it had to do with Walmart. Let's see. What does it say about Walmart in here?
Well, I think they tweeted something out like pre-orders are live now.
Yes.
Go get at the site. And people did. But this was before some sort of embargo that Sony kind of had.
Yes, they said it would be the next day, but then I think Sony opened. Did Sony open pre-orders on its site?
I think they did.
And then the retailers were like, "Well, easy. You can't be. I don't know. I think that's how it went down.
Okay,
I think. Look, okay. The chaotic pre-order situation kicked off. Sony started its invite-only registration for PS5 pre-orders. Eric Lempel, PlayStation Worldwide Marketing Head, had previously promised, it's safe to say we'll let you know when pre-orders will happen. It's not going to happen within a moment's notice. And then on Wednesday, they said pre-orders were starting on Thursday. And then 2 hours later, Walmart kicked off its pre-orders.
Yeah.
So it was Walmart.
Yeah.
Walmart went early.
Yes.
And then everybody went early.
With some sort of tweet. And then everyone just went crazy.
Everyone went nuts. And then, of course, that brings Amazon into question. And that's the next story. Amazon sent out an email to people saying, hey, about that PS5 pre-order, we might not be able to get you that PlayStation 5 on launch day. And so this, again, has to do with Sony and these companies not necessarily knowing, the retailers knowing what their volume is really going to be, what's actually going to ship to them, and what they can ensure to their their customers. So the email that came out from Amazon was this. Let me just bring it up. We're contacting you about your order of a PlayStation 5 to let you know in advance that you may not receive this item on the day it is released due to high demand. We'll make every effort to get the item to you as soon as possible. Once released, you can track your shipment, blah, blah, blah. Apologies. See you soon. Sincerely, Amazon customer service. Now, as you know, Will, a big part of buying one of these things at launch is getting it at launch. A big part of it is being a part of the whole hype. And when you get your pre-order in and it says it's going to ship on launch day, that's kind of a big deal to you. So to receive an email after that says, oh yeah, you're probably not going to get it on launch, is a bit, well, that's not what you're looking for. And it looks bad on Amazon. However, it appears it's not necessarily Amazon's fault, seeing as though Sony doesn't really know what they're going to be able to deliver to the retailer in the first place. However, if you look at the tweet from the last story, Sony seems to imply they're going to figure it out, or that things look promising. They say, we apologize, we're going to get more systems before the end of the year. So Amazon may still be able to meet that criteria. They're just hedging in order so that customers at least have the idea in their mind that it's a possibility that they don't get it. Walmart also had to cancel some orders after realizing the supply they had wasn't as great as the demand. So what does this all mean? Is the demand that much higher, or were people unprepared? Which one is it? I think the demand is higher than expected. As much as we knew gaming was having a resurgence. It appears to me, I mean, these are the biggest retail players in the world. Yeah. And Sony's a big company. You know, you would presume that if the volume was whatever they had hoped to sell in the first year, I think they sold, or in the first couple of weeks, it was like 2 million of the previous model PS4. Mm-hmm. And they knew they were going to do more than that. So are we talking about, how many pre-orders are we talking about? And what is the actual interest? It appears to me to be very high. And now, of course, I'm contributing to the interest and the demand, because I'm saying, oh, you can't get it. It might be hard to get one. Now people are trying even harder. You see what's going on here?
Exposure.
And I think it's part of the, it just seems to be part of the thing with new console launches that they have to in some way be scarce. And once they're scarce, people want them that much more. Uh-huh. Like as soon as people started telling me, oh, you missed the pre-order, you're dead. I was like, oh God, I need one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's There's a sense of urgency there.
Bizarre psychology with it, but I'm not suggesting that this is manufactured or fabricated. I think it is truly hard to map the demand without knowing. You're just, okay, let's put the pre-orders live. Oh God. It's possible to be surprised.
Yeah.
And that might be what took place here. Another surprise to some people is the scale, the physical scale of the PlayStation. Now, this is interesting to me. We've talked about it in the past, but it's even more interesting to me now because I have had hands-on with the Xbox Series X and the Xbox Series S. Mm-hmm. And it was striking to me, particularly with the S model, how small it was in person, not in pictures. It was a real shock to the system. And now, looking at these renders, this is from an illustrator named Kaisawada. He took to Twitter to post some renders comparing the PlayStation 5 dimensions with the disk drive to different TV sizes, to the Nintendo Switch, and to the Xbox products. And to actually to the size of a game case or a Blu-ray case. So this is one of the nicer comparisons we've seen, and it's got a cool cartoon style to it. Mm. And actually, if you just back out of this image and go scroll down, and I like the one on the top left, if you don't mind. Yes, okay, so this image gives you an idea against popular TV sizes as well. You have a 30-inch, a 42-inch TV, and a 50-inch TV, and you have everything from the PlayStation 4 all the way up to the Xbox Series X, and of course the PlayStation 5 is in there. And yeah, it's big. It's the biggest of the bunch. It's the biggest of the bunch by a lot, really, the uh-huh. PlayStation 5, and it's enormous compared to the Series S. It's closest, I guess, to the Series X, but the way that they distributed the volume in that unit, because it is a rectangular prism, you know, I love to go there.
Yeah.
As opposed to calling it a cuboid, which some people swear by. Although either is fine.
Yeah.
I've already...
What's a rhomboid?
A rhombus.
It's a rhombus?
There is a rhombus. Oh, okay. But that one has, you know, you have the angles. You have different angles on a rhombus. Anyways, so this is an interesting image. What do you think, Will? Is it too big? Look at it next to a 30-inch TV.
It's a thick boy.
Yeah, look how tall it is. I don't think you're... What are you going to do? Are you going to lay it down or are you going to stand
it
up?
I like the fact that there's an image of it laying down. I'm probably going to do that.
You're going to lay it down.
It's, it's pretty big.
Yeah.
But hey, you can just hide it.
People have become obsessed with this though, Will. Like these tweets, you got 25,000 retweets on the original tweet. 25,000 retweets, 46,000 likes. People care about the size of it.
Uh-huh.
For whatever reason, they're shocked. And one of the things is it makes the Nintendo Switch look so cool. Tiny little thing hooked up to your TV. Anyways, I don't care that much. It would have to be twice the size that it is for me to start being like, hey, that's a bit much.
Does this give you confidence that the fact that it's bigger, it seems more powerful?
Bigger is better. Yeah. Like the cooling, there's going to be no throttling. Maybe.
There's more airflow.
I mean, they want you to get it instead of a gaming PC. Gaming PC is still bigger than that in most cases. So look, the scale that they're showing, it is large, but it isn't so large that I'm very concerned.
Yeah.
Especially next to like a 50-inch TV or something. You're not, it's not.
It's no big deal.
It's not going to bother me, but it is bothering some. Xbox. So we talk a lot about PlayStation there. One of the big topics of conversation has been around the exclusives. Sony has some pretty hard-hitting exclusive titles. And Microsoft was relying on Halo being a part of the launch in a big way. And then they even showed it off, and then they got all the... Well, I mean, we talked about it a number of times on the show. Uh-huh. It became a meme, and people were upset, and we were trying to be nice, and then people got mad at us for trying to be nice. Anyway, remember that the topic came up that Microsoft was thinking about buying TikTok? Mm-hmm. Obviously, that didn't take place, but that they had a little bit of cash there. They were like, we could use this for TikTok, or we could just go buy Bethesda's parent company.
Oh.
We could just go buy... game company, responsible for Fallout, uh-huh. responsible for Elder Scrolls. It also owns id Software, responsible for Doom. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. So they took $7.5 billion, they've expanded, and they've purchased this game developer. Now the company is called ZeniMax Media. And underneath them is Bethesda and id Software, etc. The move grows the number of in-house Xbox game development studios to 23, up from 15 earlier this year. So it's an arms race. Huh. You got to get the developers. If you want those exclusive titles, you need the game makers. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're aiming at here. And this is increasingly important given the fact that it's been the topic of conversation around next-gen gaming, around next-gen consoles, at least. Mm-hmm. What are the games? What are the exclusives? That's why I care or don't care.
Right.
And it's been tough for Microsoft with the bad news with the... And this at least showcases, okay, maybe we don't have the exclusive title you're looking for off the bat.
Yeah, but soon.
But look at this.
Yeah.
Look at these game developers we got now.
They have a good lineup.
Because before that, what was it? Well, besides Halo, you have Forza. What do you have? Huh. You don't have enough.
Yeah, I guess Gears of War. That's a good one.
Yeah, Gears of War. But so, anyways, this is a really big deal. It's a big deal from a money perspective. It might be a better buy than TikTok for Microsoft.
I would say so.
It's more in line. Like they can immediately put it into play. Mm-hmm. It is the biggest ever video game purchase for Microsoft. That's huge, man.
And Doom is on the up and up.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I seen some clips. That thing looks wild. The new Doom game looks
looking great.
Bananas.
Yeah, that was a bright feature.
So they gotta get the key launch titles going. Of course, on the PlayStation side, you have the Miles Morales, the Spider-Man game, and then the remastering of the previous PS4 exclusives. Mm-hmm. So people are going to be looking at that, and they're going to have to make a choice. But if you were leaning in Microsoft's direction, this can only help.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a big deal. And, oh, by the way, we have a comment from, is it Phil Spencer? What's his first name? Phil Spencer, yeah. We have a comment from Phil Spencer. Today is a landmark step. We will be adding Bethesda's catalog of hit games to Microsoft Xbox Game Pass, which now boasts more than 15 million subscribers. Mm. Big stuff there as well. So it will show up on Game Pass too.
Great.
All that stuff. This next one is for you, Willie. You're the big Oculus guy, big VR guy. Oculus Quest 2 is going to get Infinite Office with Logitech keyboard and adjustable pass-through. This is not, honestly, I have not spent that much time in VR. But apparently, Facebook is aiming at you having VR instead of an actual PC. Instead of an actual monitor or laptop, you would just have VR.
Yeah. What they have now is called virtual desktop. Mm-hmm. And like you put your goggles on and it's literally like an office space.
Yes.
And you have your monitors kind of like floating there. So.
But it's in VR. It is not pass-through of the real world.
No. It's like strictly a different world kind of thing.
Yeah, so apparently that's what this is going to be. The Oculus browser built into Quest is Chromium based. It's compatible with all kinds of web apps. An earlier preview of something called Infinite Office showed it displaying programs streamed from your Windows PC, capable of doing that. And then this is the coolest part for me, this thing called Pass-Through Plus. It's the real world via black and white cameras instead of the virtual home environment. And there's a slider that lets you adjust pass-through to for how much real world shows through.
Yeah. She's using her hand as like a slider.
Yes. Correct. Cool. Now, the key part of this announcement is the keyboard. The key part is the keyboard down there. Apparently, Logitech will team up with Facebook. It's a partnership to bring the K830 into VR. You will pair it with the Quest 2, then see your hands typing on it in VR. So it's physically there, but it's in... You see what I'm saying here?
They're doing some great things.
That's crazy.
Oculus. Yeah. Right now, they have hand tracking. So, like, I mean, adding a full-fledged 3D model of a keyboard and then you typing...
But it is... But you have the keyboard.
Yeah.
So the keyboard is there, but then it's also rendered perfectly in the VR.
So it's super accurate when you, like...
Exactly. Type. That's crazy. That's going to be a weird mental adjustment to go on there. It's a really new announcement, so you don't have to necessarily rush out and try to buy this thing right now. I don't know how it is mapping out currently. Apparently, there's this infinite office for Quest 2 is going to give you the capability to have persistent surface panels like tables and couches, and they'll be saved, so you don't have to always rebuild a work environment. Inside of your infinite office. So, I don't know, man. Like, you and I got the headset on over here. You got over there. We're typing. We're reading the whole thing.
Yeah.
Who needs a display? You have the VR. You have the immersive thing going on, but then you can still interact with real world. I mean, it's kind of cool.
It is very cool, yeah.
Xiaomi has taken to the streets in India, launching their mobile van sales office.
Is it like a pop-up shop?
Yeah, they're gonna roll up to your neighborhood in this little van, and they pop up the side there, almost like a food truck, except they're gonna sell you a smartphone. And they're gonna go to sort of underserviced areas, rural areas of India, and they will actually go to the local market where people on the weekend might go, kind of like a farmer's market or something like this. And they'll just roll up in this. And now it's not just produce and the usual knickknacks, and now it's not just the small-time seller, but they roll up in this, and you just you're having fun on the weekend, anyways. So you get the produce, and you snap up a little smartphone at the same time.
And it seems like they're selling a bunch of stuff, including a trimmer.
I didn't even know they made a trimmer.
Yeah,
their trimmer 1C. It looks like it says, since their branding is Mi, Xiaomi Mi for India, it looks like they're calling that the Mi Beard trimmer.
Right next to the earbuds?
Or in that case, would you say My Beard trimmer? Because My, you know, like M-Y.
Yeah, no judgment. I'm sure they would be okay with both.
Oh, okay. All right. But they have the TV stick. They have the TV box in 4K. There's a few things you can see here. Apparently, they put this together real quick. So proud of our offline team who completed this project in just 40 days. So they were tasked with bringing the store to the people. This, of course, is especially interesting because people are trying to stay out of physical stores in India. The lockdown has been increasing, and so they can't go visit the local store as much or go indoors. Obviously there's a risk factor involved with that, so people are avoiding it. So then you just bring the truck to the outdoors, and they can keep shopping.
And it's cute, this little thing.
Would you call that cute?
Yeah.
They've got a ton of stores, by the way, in India. Listen to this. They have 8,000 preferred partners, 4,000 large format retail partners, and 3,000 Xiaomi stores. That's nuts, man. It's a huge footprint. And who knows? Now they take to the street. Maybe this won't be the only food truck. Phone truck.
Phone truck.
It's a new trend.
Yeah.
Phone truck. Although, what a strange way to buy a phone. It's totally spontaneously, like you're at the market just picking up some baked goods, and then all of a sudden, oh yeah, I need a new phone too.
Right next to
phone is not
like a food truck.
Phone is not typically a spontaneous purchase, but we'll see how it goes. All right, TikTok. I had to give you the update on this. So last time we spoke, it was imminent doom, imminent danger, an extension on TikTok existing in the US, but however, exiting the App Store for new downloads. Well, Trump has agreed in concept, that's his words, not mine, in concept, to a deal involving Oracle and Walmart, which a lot of people predicted this would take place. It just seemed to be taking more time than originally expected. And people want to know the details of the deal because it wasn't well known up until recently. So apparently Oracle is going to become TikTok's cloud provider. Now, Oracle already provides cloud services to companies like Zoom for video conferencing. They will take a minority stake in the company at 12.5%. So not enormous. Walmart will jump in and take 7.5% of the company, and their CEO will serve as one of the five board members of the newly created company. TikTok, their parent company of TikTok, ByteDance, will own the remaining 80%. However, you read that and you're like, what the heck just happened?
But yeah, I thought it was going to be a buyout.
They got 80% still?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's important to note, TikTok was already 40% owned by those U.S. investment firms, Sequoia and General Atlantic and whoever else. So they were 40% owned. And then of the remaining 100% that wasn't, do you see what I'm saying? It gets kind of weird. Because then you got to add 12.5 and 7.5, which is 20. So that's 60. Mm. So it's just weird the way that it's worded. Now it looks like they're not the majority holder.
Right.
But it's close.
Yeah.
Because if you're not including the original 40% ownership and you're looking at the new 100% to calculate, we would have to do some math. Mm-hmm. But they still own a pretty significant chunk. So there's a lot of people looking at it saying, wait, how are your concerns at rest here when they own such a significant portion still after whatever you've put everybody through? However, the way that they're going to push this deal through, the way that they're going to announce it or satisfy the public as to why anything took place, they're going to say, okay, look, Oracle's going to do the whole technological side. Everything will be hosted here. Nothing is going back to ByteDance in China. That's how they'll say it.
Yes.
But if you're a majority holder in a company or close to it and you say,
yeah,
I need that data chop, then Oracle's going to have to stand up to you and say, no, we can't do that. The president won't allow it. So it's a weird relationship here against the typical corporate structure where the majority shareholder or a big time shareholder would be able to make requests or do things. So in this case, we would need even more information to know what is their capacity, what are they still capable of doing, ByteDance I'm speaking of, inside of this new relationship or what they're calling a partnership, as opposed to an all-out buyout, as some people might imagine it might have had to been in the first place.
Yeah.
Now, the last piece I want to add to it is that Trump isn't really saying it's a done deal. Here's what he says. I have given the deal my blessing. If they get it done, that's great. If they don't, that's okay too. I approved the deal in concept. So it's almost like he's kind of half-stepping into it too, saying, yeah, it's all right, but maybe it's not exactly to my standard yet or what I was hoping to have happen.
Right.
Now, some other things, quick things about TikTok. Apparently, there's part of the deal saying they've got to put 25,000 jobs across the country. A new company will be incorporated in Texas. Seems like everything's happening in Texas these days. And they're going to give TikTok business will pay over $5 billion in new taxes to the U.S. Treasury. And apparently they're going to set up a large fund for the education of American youth. And I don't know, it's going to be, that's $5 billion as well. $5 billion go to the education of the youth, which if the youth are sitting around scrolling TikTok all day, you got to put the $5 billion back in. Trying to teach them something. You're melting their brain half the time. Then you're like, we're going to teach you something too. Yeah. We got $5 billion for you.
It's a balance.
Since we stole your entire childhood and you scrolled it away.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm joking. All right. Everything in moderation, including moderation. That's what they say, Will.
Yes.
I apologize for having done that to you right there.
Yeah.
I don't know why people say that. All right. So next up, Tesla. Tesla is preparing to launch a full self-driving subscription. This is interesting. A monthly fee. I read this headline and I thought to myself, wait a second. Wasn't that part of the deal when you bought the car? That it once the full self-driving rolled out as an update, but not owning a Tesla myself, that was early day stuff. A lot of people are not buying this option now on their cars. It could be like an $8,000 option, the full self-driving, and they can't do it yet. So they might be thinking, why do I want to spend $8,000 on the full self-driving?
Yeah.
So this could be a way to get more people involved in it. Of course, it's kind of speculation, I believe, even though the headline doesn't make it seem like it's speculation. I believe it is speculation. Elon Musk confirmed Tesla plan to release such an option toward the end of the year, with full self-driving packages priced back into focus as Tesla reintroduced an enhanced autopilot package. So enhanced autopilot is $4,000. Full self-driving is $8,000. Mm. So it's obviously cost prohibitive for some people. They're just saying, I'm not going to add that right now. It's just too much money. So this would alleviate some of that. And it also would satisfy some of the users, some of the drivers who have a lease. It would be weird to put 8 G's into full self-driving. You're not even going to have the car forever. You might have a 3-year lease, 2-year lease. I don't know what you have. So you could have the subscription during the period of time of the lease. Now, the subscription would have to be expensive. This ain't going to be $5 a month.
No.
It's going to have to be like $100 a month, probably.
Yeah.
Something in that neighborhood. But still, for someone who's financing a car or leasing a car, that's a big improvement over paying it all up front.
Mm-hmm.
However, most places still don't have any kind of full self-driving, so it still remains to be seen whether like how useful that subscription will be to you. But Tesla does have a pretty strict... They're at least saying... They have a huge commitment, I should say, to rolling out more self-driving features quickly.
Uh-huh.
Elon's been saying it for a while. They actually put a deadline on enhanced autopilot. What are they saying the deadline is? Let's see here. Was it just... Oh, here we go. We noted it was an opportunistic move. Tesla has confirmed in a new email to customers they have until September 30th, which is the end of the quarter, to order it. But that's not their self-driving deadline, is it? Anyway, the point being is they've been getting more aggressive about saying, no, it's really going to happen, because they've been selling it for a long time, but it hasn't actually been a thing that people could use the full deal.
I'm just really, I'm still kind of like, it's like, wow, it's just full self-driving, and then it's just an update, and then that's it.
Well,
you know, it's not nothing to do with hardware or anything. It's just like a software update.
And then you're full self-driving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's crazy stuff to this day, man. I mean, just the idea of everything that's involved from a technological perspective, from the hardware to the software to the advanced learning and all. And I mean, it is an incredibly complex task to be making all those decisions, split second type of stuff. Real curious to see as these features roll out to more users. How it all, hopefully it all goes well.
Yes. It's all software at this point.
Hopefully it all goes well.
Yeah.
Hopefully it all goes well. All right. Last one for me. This is a bit of fun. I don't know if you've ever seen this, Will, where you ever caught somebody in public, they're trying to take a picture or video of themselves, or they're trying to do a TikTok dance, and you look at it as an outsider and it looks so absurd to watch the person trying to frame them. And maybe they take 5 or 10 different photos and they're really posing and you're just trying to enjoy yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. You're just trying to have a day.
Mm-hmm.
This brought this to your memory here.
Yeah, that's me. I'm the dog.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, what is this guy up to? Well, in this case, he's playing, I think, Beat Saber.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. But everybody looks ridiculous when they're interacting with gadgets and unaware of their surroundings.
Yeah.
Well, the influencer is no different. And here we have an article, 30 times people spotted influencers ridiculously taking pics and then submitted evidence to the Influencers in the Wild IG account. So this is a person who is having the experience that you would be having in public if you saw a bunch of influencers doing some goofy stuff, and then you have. And I actually, to be honest, I think it's important for people to realize what you see online is fake. It's all fake, right? That image, that snap, that frame that you have, I think it's kind of important to get a dose of reality. And if you ever get that behind the scenes look or that reflection in the mirror, for you to process that as well and say, how cool is it now? How cool is it now that I've seen everything that was involved in making this frame take place? Yeah. Once you're no longer in the suspension, once you're no longer in your imagination or in your, you're filling in the gaps.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so perfect. And the same thing goes if somebody Photoshops the way their body looks or anything like this. You need that healthy dose of reality so you can process the world properly. And that's what this is. This is a dose of reality. So you scroll through it and you see the other angle on some of these iconic photos. This is somebody getting, I believe that's called a wedgie. I don't know.
It's a wedgie.
She's trying to get the photo on the tree and her outfit gets stuck to it. Not very glamorous. This next person was trying to take, I guess, a jumping shot with the water flying. They were trying to get that kind of, and they end up inside of the fountain head first. Doesn't go well, the movement. The next guy's trying to make a hamburger look really good, and he has a light bounce for the hamburger photo. And I'm just, if you saw just the hamburger photo on Instagram, you'd be saying, damn, that guy's got a great camera or good looking hamburger, or I really want that hamburger, or why don't my photos look like that? But you see this image and you say to yourself, that's what that guy's afternoon looked like. That influencer's afternoon.
A lot of work.
Yeah, it didn't look that glamorous at all, and it certainly wasn't about the eating the burger.
No.
How far did he travel from the burger place to take the photo in the first place? It ain't about the burger anymore.
Hey, Larry, can you unfold this giant reflective screen
here
and just put it behind me while I take a picture?
I mean,
this
from
hamburger?
This angle, yeah, it's a totally different thing. Now, nothing against the guy, because I've done all kinds of absurd things to make great photos in public. I've done it.
Usually around
a phone or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think this angle is important too. The BTS is the truth, or it's closer to the truth. No image is the truth, but it's closer to the truth. You go down to the next one, the girl, or this girl.
Oh.
I'm going to go catch a photo with a bear. Not a great idea. The bear obviously had a different idea. You can scroll down a few more. I have one. Oh, there is a funny one. Go down a little bit more here too. When you see a caribou and a man, an older man. I mean, they're all goofy, obviously. This guy, I don't think belongs in here because he does not strike me as an influencer. But I might be wrong. I think he just got too close to an elk. And, well, of course, that's a bad idea. And he's running off, but equally dumb. We have the Coachella posters on the next one. We have a really weird one at number 12, which is somebody who set up a dancing pole on a beach without even having a really nice backdrop.
Oh, 14, I guess.
Oh, you think your numbers are different than
13.
Mine? 13. For some reason, that's 12 for me. Oh. Anyway, yeah, like that. Look at that look right there. Stripper pole on the beach with a garbage truck in the background and a bunch of other people there, not nearly as glamorous as it may have looked on the other end. And then just go down to number 15. Number 15 will really wreck your, or yeah, right there. That wrecks your brain a little bit.
Oh,
it's so strange because you know whatever photo, there's a full photographer there and there's a girl lying on the beach. And then there's just like families around and there's like a little sand bucket over there and there's people just enjoying their day at the beach. And then this they're trying to make this photo with the half naked woman there. And it's just, it's so weird from this angle, but from the angle that went on social media that cropped all that out, it's so different the way you would perceive it.
Yeah. I'm guessing this was shot with a drone. It's really high.
Oh, the photo of the BTS? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it looks like it could be a drone shot. Or the person is just, maybe there's a boardwalk over there.
Yeah.
Or some other vantage point. Either way, very, very strange. It makes you reconsider all these frames that you're forced to look at as you scroll through social media and how perfect they all are and how imperfect reality actually is. Do you know what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Maybe there's one more I'll give you. Go to number 19 is very strange. If assuming your numbers are the same as mine, because they were different for one moment. No, they're not. Go to 20.
20.
Yeah. Look at this one.
Oh.
Like, what is... I'll describe this one again if you're just listening. This is a pool. And once again, it's a kind of, I don't know, like an erotic shot. And there's kids in the water family wings. And pool. Everybody's in the kids pool. Everywhere. The pool is so crowded. But there's this other woman that's taking the photo. Look what she's targeting. Mm-hmm. Straight at the... I mean, very strange. But once the person's in the influencer mindset, apparently, and it's a terrible terminology. I don't know who... I don't want to... I don't know. It's a anyway, once in the mindset of production, it's like the whole world fades away. They're like, just get the frame.
Yeah.
Just get the frame at all costs. And they're not really interacting with the world in that moment. They're just interacting with their feed. And it's what that becomes more important than the actual reality in that moment. And the same thing happens to the person looking at it. This photo, especially, if you were to scroll past this, you would not perceive the surroundings. You would not perceive the environment. You would not perceive the humanity. You would not perceive the reality or anything close to it. Mm-hmm. So that's why I brought up this post. Yes, it gives you a little laugh, a little chuckle, but also it encourages you to fill in the blanks. If you see the post on social media and don't perceive it for your initial reaction, but instead try to imagine what the surroundings looked like in order to get a more accurate representation of the reality of the situation.
Yes.